Right now, are we on the air, Lady Skill?
Yes,
now?
Yes, we are.
I'm sorry. Hey, yo, bust the move.
This is Jennifer Lawrence from Old Chatham, and you are listening to WGXC Accra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Tom Rowe in Agra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you today, including new music from Dry Cleaning and Jupiter and Aquas, and we'll also hear about PFAS, the toxic forever chemical that's been found in the water in Hoosick Falls and Cairo and Newburgh and other Hudson Valley locations. We'll hear from Colin O'Neill, the legislative director of the Environmental Working Group, discussing the issue with WOOC's Mark Dunley. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. All this and more starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Turns the blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Roger Hannigan-Gilson in the Times Union looks at more of the details in the decision of Columbia County Judge Richard Kowiek to dismiss most of the charges against four Columbia County residents who beat a man nearly to death in the late hours of a July 4th party in Kinderhook in 2019. Columbia County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Rosenstrock, Alex, her husband, IRS agent Brian Hogg, and Corey Gaylord, a contractor, were indicted on multiple felonies in October 2020 after a grand jury heard evidence in the case. They were indicted on gang assault and other charges, but Kowiek dismissed most of those, leaving the defendants each charged with a single felony count of unlawful imprisonment and various misdemeanors. Columbia County District Attorney Paul Chajek said December 13th that he has not decided whether to represent the case to a new grand jury. quote, "we're considering our options," unquote, he said. Koweek dismissed the gang assault charges because he said the defendant, Harold Handy, was not seriously injured. Handy spent 2.5 days at Albany Medical Center with 2 bones in his face fractured and a large hematoma over his left eye. But the DA's office did not present any medical records or details about an operation to have a plate inserted in his face near the fractures. Other new facts emerged in Koweek's 42-page decision. For instance, Corey Gaylord and Alex Rosenstock both allegedly fired shots during the party while drunk, but neither has been charged with any form of attempted assault or menacing. Handy was allegedly, quote, restrained and beaten on 3 occasions, unquote, but his wife was not allowed to call 911. But the partygoers did let her use her phone, checking each time what number she called. The 4 defendants now each face a single felony count of unlawful imprisonment and several misdemeanor charges. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Ted Renschneider reports for Columbia Green Media that as Greene County officials ignore the state's new mask mandate, they announce yet another local death from COVID-19. The 88th COVID-19 death in Greene County was an unidentified man in his mid-70s who had comorbidity issues and was not vaccinated. COVID-19 case counts have been rising locally, and a new variant of the virus is reportedly more easily transmitted. Groden said, and I quote, "All of our positive numbers have been as high as they've been in a year, but the few times when someone who is vaccinated gets positive, the symptoms are very mild. I know a gentleman who didn't get vaxxed, and he wound up in the hospital. So if that's your option, would you rather just have a mild case of the flu with typical flu-like symptoms, or do you want to run the risk of being in the emergency room? I guess I just don't understand why you wouldn't get vaxxed," end quote. Even in the face of mounting cases, Greene County officials have not taken any action to slow the spread besides holding vaccine and testing clinics. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden has gone on record saying the county will not enforce the mask mandate that goes into effect December 13th, saying the county does not have the staffing to do so. Greene County Legislative Chair Patrick Linger said he needs to be explained the science of how masks work to slow transmission. He said, and I quote, "Before we take that step, I'd like some confirmation of the science involved in determining that reverting to this mask mandate slows a spread," end quote. Instead of taking any new action in the face of the rising numbers, county officials are seeing the local results. Groden said, and I quote, "We had 83 people that made COVID testing appointments the other day, December 6. We had 16 of those tests turn positive on us," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ted Remsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Windham Town officials have chosen to place a 6-month moratorium on commercial solar and wind projects as they work to craft legislation for renewable energy farms. The moratorium is focused exclusively on commercial solar and wind projects, not residential solar panels on residents' homes. The Windham Town Board, December 9th, unanimously approved a local law establishing the moratorium. The ban will remain in effect through June 30th. But we have no guidelines currently, unquote, Windham Town Supervisor Thomas Hoyt said following the meeting. Quote, "With this renewable energy push, I want to be prepared. So if somebody comes with a project for our town, we have the right guidance to say it's got to have setbacks and there's a plan to decommission it. All that good stuff that has to be in a solar law," unquote. Hoyt noted that no company has approached Windham about creating a large-scale solar or wind farm, but the town wants to make sure it has legislation in place if such a project emerges. Greene County Legislator Larry Gardner said, quote, "We're pausing the process for anyone that wants to come in and do this," unquote. The local law states that Windham, quote, "desires to adopt regulations that govern commercial solar-fueled electric generating facilities and commercial wind-fueled electric generating facilities," unquote. At the public hearing on the moratorium last week, no one spoke for or against the local law, Gardner said. Quote, "This is huge projects where people want to buy 5 acres and put down 4 acres of solar panels. There are no renewable energy facilities in the town currently, but the town wants to have guidelines in place if an energy company arrives to pitch one," unquote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Michelle Del Rey is reporting for the Times Union. Zephyr Teachout has dropped out of the race for Attorney General, according to a press release sent out December 12th.
Teachout wrote in a statement, and I quote, "Our campaign for New York Attorney General has always been rooted in doing the best for New Yorkers. Attorney General Letitia James is an exceptional leader and dedicated public servant. Given her decision to seek re-election, I will be immediately suspending my own campaign." James had declared her candidacy for governor, but ended that campaign this week to pursue re-election to her post, writing on Twitter, and I quote, "I have come to the conclusion that I must continue my work as Attorney General. There are a number of important investigations and cases that are underway, and I intend to finish the job. I am running for re-election to complete the work New Yorkers elected me to do," end quote. Teach Out, a progressive, first ran for AG in 2018 but lost to James, but won the Capital Region in the process. Before that, she ran for governor in 2014. Former Assistant United States Attorney Dan Goldman also called off his campaign Friday in light of James' announcement. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Dan Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper that on December 2nd, public hearing before the Ankrum Planning Board on the pending applications to locate the Star Retreat Center on 156 acres at 2540 State Route 82. The property is owned by PNM Farms, RSG Farms, and SSG Farms. The project drew a full house in person in the town hall meeting room, plus an additional 75 people on Zoom. The proposed retreat center would include the adaptive reuse of an existing residence for a 5-guest room inn and the development of 4 separate cottages or creek houses for overnight accommodations, including 3 separate buildings for associated recreational support uses on the east side of the property. On the west side of the property, the proposed development would include a glamping area with 22 individual camping structures. The inn would also have a restaurant featuring produce from the on-site organic farming operation that would include 2 buildings to support produce processing and equipment storage. Amenities would include massage, horseback riding, swimming, exercise, and art. Project developers have petitioned the town board for a zoning amendment to permit a 13-acre portion of the property to be rezoned from Hamlet Residential to the Agricultural District. Iron Star founder Stacy Shurgin, president of a New York City real estate management and development company, was present and said she had been in Ankrum for 2 years. Quote, "I came for the land," unquote, which she found, quote, "magical and beautiful," unquote. The questions and comments from planning board members varied from a note that an endangered species of cottontail rabbit lives on or near the property, a query about whether the center is going to be a year-round operation when the traffic study presented was done. Residents' comments concern the ability to maintain community character, concerns over increased demands for water and electricity, how the zoning changes would conflict with the town's comprehensive plan, the project's financial viability, the fire company's worries about the development's impact on traffic, emergency access roads and the availability of water for fire suppression, and the questionable choice of developing a resort when affordable housing is so desperately needed. The planning board chose to keep the public hearing open. It will possibly resume in January. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the city of Newburgh wants to celebrate the 1-year anniversary of an attempted takeover of the U.S. government by declaring every January 6th as Civics Day. On January 6th this year, an armed angry mob stormed the U.S. Capitol attempting to stop government officials from declaring Joe Biden president after he won more votes in the election. Several police officers and one insurrectionist died in the ensuing battle. Newburgh Mayor Torrence Harvey is also a history teacher, and he proposed the Civics Day idea. He said, and I quote, "This shall be the first day where we, the people, celebrate our tradition gained through decades of struggle, of enabling American citizens to have the right to vote, to have free elections. We know we live in a divided nation, unfortunately, at the current time. We know that everything is weaponized now," end quote. Others already celebrate a National Civics Day on October 27th, the anniversary of when the Federalist Papers were first published in 1787.
Democratic State Senator Brad Holyman might not always like what his neighborhood weekly newspapers write about him, but he recognizes their importance to the community. Quote, "They criticize us routinely. They hold our feet to the fire," unquote, he said. Quote, "But they are fading, and unless we act now, I'm afraid all these newspapers are going to be out of business in short order," unquote. Holyman and Assembly Member Kerry Warner are backing proposals that would encourage people to subscribe to local media and have those local media organizations hire reporters by creating tax credits. Tax credits would be targeted at small media companies, those that employ fewer than 1,500 people. Local news can help constituents keep up to date on what's happening down the street, but it's really about making sure our citizenry, our residents, are informed, unquote, Holyman said. Studies have shown the death of local newspapers and the lack of information about community events and issues has led to a rise in polarization across the country. At the same time, municipalities have measurably suffered when local news dies. Quote, when you don't have local journalists covering local communities, it's easy to lose track of what's happening around the country, unquote, Warner said. Quote, it doesn't feel to me that we are overweighted on national news and underweighted on local information, unquote.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 46 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 24. And on Wednesday, a chance of rain mainly after 4 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 43 degrees. And a chance of rain on Wednesday night, it will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 40 degrees. And that is your weather update. From WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You will hear all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Tuesday, December 14th at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. we hear from Catskills' Corey McClaskind with his Forgotten Geek show. Then at 11 a.m., it's time for the Early Electro Mix show, today with tracks from Bernard Herrmann, Joan LaBarbera, Klaus Roeder, and others. At noon, after the local news, it's time for the Overlooked show. Today, Rob Saffer is listening to Threads, Cellos, and Artifacts until 2 p.m., when it's time for the Algorithm as Ritual show, featuring works from Genesis Breyer, P. Aridge, Woody Guthrie, Rabbit, Dale Cornish, Micah Levy, and others. At 3 p.m. on the Radio Art Hour, the pop cut-up collective People Like Us, mostly Becky Bennett, is featured. And at 4 p.m., Randall Martin hosts the WGXC Afternoon Show from Hudson. At 7 p.m., Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees beam in from Rhinebeck and Athens for Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, an hour conversation about the latest in movies locally. Then Andy French has the Crawl Out from the Fallout at 8 p.m., music from around the world and brand new often. And then it's time for the Battlefield Earth Show at 10 p.m. with Dan Seward beaming in from somewhere in Columbia County on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Tune in or turn out Thursday, December 16th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill when the jazz quartet Pacht performs. That is Percy Jones, who's played with Brand X, Brian Eno, and others, Alex Skolnick, who's played with Testament, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and others, Kenny Grohowski, who's played with John Zorn, and others, and Tim Motzer, who's played with David Sylvian, and others. They'll play their unique jazz music at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 8 to 10 p.m., and WGXC will broadcast it live from 8 to 9 p.m. You can hear the whole thing on a webcast at WGXC.org, or tune in the first hour of the broadcast on 90.7 FM. That's Thursday, December 16th, the group Pocked live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Tune in or turn out.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, December 14th. Early this morning, it's 31 degrees in Turnwood, and over in Snyderville, it's 35. It will be dry today, with a high of 47 expected at 1 p.m. A stiff wind will keep things feeling chilly. Overnight, temperatures fall to 24 degrees. On Wednesday, a high of 43 is expected right around noon. Soon after, chances of rain enter the region. Overnight, the rain gets a little stronger and temperatures rise slightly to 44 degrees as a warm front crosses the region. Thursday, we have a break in the rain in the morning, then temperatures reach 58 degrees in the afternoon before the rain resumes. Friday will be dry with a high of 50, and Saturday could see some snow or rain. The closest possible snowfall today is about 500 miles away beyond New Brunswick. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:41 a.m., high tide at 11:46 a.m., low tide again at 6:20 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 39 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:12 a.m. Looking way up, we see incoming solar wind is due to strike on Thursday. Minor geomagnetic unrest is possible. Don't forget the Gemini meteor shower is still near its peak. Solar wind speed is currently 311 kilometers per second at 11.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for daytime and fair for nighttime transmissions. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 40. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Arthur and Karen of Hoover, Alabama. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2 May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Mo D, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
kann ich, was ich kann machen. Na tamboli, di tambola, tambola, eh. Il est temps pour moi de rencontrer mes ancêtres. Pour que ma famille in Africa, in Africa, in Africa. Bind me up. Bind home. Nakosonga. Nakosonga. Ich weiß nicht, wann ich kann dir sagen. Na tamboli, di tambola, tambola, na mokilio. Il est temps pour moi de rencontrer mes ancêtres. Pour que ma famille in Africa. Sous ma famille, mein Kinder, mein Großvater. Nakuzunga. Nakuzunga. Ich kann dich fragen. Na tamboli, di tambola, tambola, na mokilio. Il est temps pour moi de raconter mes ancêtres. Pour que ma famille in Africa. Pour que mein Großvater in Africa. Pour que mein Vorfather in Africa. Yes, it's Mutus again. Bye-bye. Au revoir. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Tschüss. Auf Wiedersehen. Au revoir.
Adios.
That was the title track of Jupiter and Aquis' Nakanzanga album from 2021 on the radio at WGXC.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC. 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
In this time of crisis, Kentuckians are standing shoulder to shoulder, and we will not fail.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the tornadoes that ravaged his home state are the worst he's ever seen, and thanked President Joe Biden for approving a disaster declaration. At least 80 people were killed in storms across six states. Biden will survey the damage in Kentucky Wednesday. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says an investigation is underway into the deadly roof collapse at an Amazon warehouse.
Six individuals clocked in on Friday, and they never came home. An additional person is still receiving medical treatment.
President Biden spoke again with Joe Manchin Monday, trying to convince the West Virginia Democrat to vote for his Build Back Better Act. Manchin wants to put the brakes on negotiations to fully examine the economic environment.
Inflation is real. It's not transitory. It's alarming. It's going up, not down. And I think that should be something we're concerned about.
Senate leaders want to pass the bill by the end of the year, but need all 50 Democrats on board to use the reconciliation process. Biden signed an executive order to improve dozens of government services, including airport screening and passport renewals, and a new federal online system to make it easier to interact with the government. Vice President Kamala Harris announced a new administration plan to build 500,000 electric charging stations across the U.S.
In this imperative to go electric, there is an immense opportunity. We will create good-paying, good union jobs in communities around our country.
The new infrastructure law sets aside $5 billion for states to build the network. The January 6th committee voted to refer Mark Meadows for a charge of criminal contempt of Congress. The former Trump White House chief of staff initially cooperated by providing thousands of documents, which Chair Benny Thompson said raised questions.
When it's time for him to follow the law, come in and testify on those questions. He changed his mind and told us to pound sand. He didn't even show up.
Through an attorney, Meadows said the referral decision was unwise, unfair, and contrary to law. The Supreme Court is refusing to block New York's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, which allows medical but not religious exemptions. And the Air Force has discharged more than 24 people for refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine, the first service members believed to be removed for disobeying the mandate. Meanwhile, protests against COVID restrictions in Germany turned violent. At least a dozen police officers were injured over the weekend, and several journalists were attacked. With the threat of the Omicron variant, Germany is tightening restrictions, starting child vaccinations, and considering a general vaccine mandate. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Next, we hear music from Dry Cleaning. This is from their 2021 album, New Long Leg. The song is called Scratch Card Lanyard.
something I gotta ask you. I just wanna know, what are you gonna do for me? I mean, are you gonna liberate us girls from male, white, corporate oppression?
Tell it like it is.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Word up.
Fear of a female planet.
Fear. Fear. Planet. Fear, baby.
I just want you to know.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Colin O'Neill, who is the legislative director of the Environmental Working Group. Received an email recently about how the Congress defense bill tackles forever chemicals such as PFAS, which was the toxic forever chemical at the Norlite incinerator. So, Colin, maybe just give people a quick introduction to the Environmental Working Group and what did the Congress defense bill do about PFAS?
An environmental nonprofit that works on many issues under the sun connected to toxic chemicals, but one of them is the issue of PFAS. These are toxic forever chemicals that never break down in the environment, build up in our bodies, and have been linked to a number of negative health outcomes, including cancers, thyroid disease, reduced efficacy of vaccines, and so much more. On Tuesday, the House and Senate Armed Services Committees unveiled their final negotiated version of the annual defense spending bill known as the National Defense Authorization Act. This is the big spending bill that funds all of the Pentagon and the Department of Defense. And in it includes a number of provisions that thankfully will help better address the emerging PFAS contamination crisis that's going on across the country. The bill does a couple things. First, it would include $517 million in dedicated funding to help the Pentagon and the Department of Defense more quickly clean up bases across the country that have been contaminated with PFAS as a result of decades of use of military-grade firefighting foam that contains PFAS. And then equally important is a provision that was included that would place a temporary moratorium on the Department of Defense from burning any of its legacy firefighting foam and PFAS waste, which has been an emerging threat for many communities across the country, including those around the Norlite facility in New York and an incinerator in East Liverpool, Ohio, and so many other places across the country where PFAS is literally being spewed out the stacks of these incinerators and depositing on residents and local drinking water supplies.
Well, some of our listeners may remember the Norlite Hazardous Waste Incinerator in Cohoes, right across the river from the media sanctuary offices, had been secretly burning PFAS from the military for several years. And we actually have managed to pass both the city, the county, and the state law to stop such generation moving forward. But, you know, how did this issue emerge to the level where Congress, you know, took action on it?
Well, you know, really, thanks to New York's leadership and the concerns raised by so many of the community voices around the Norlite facility, that really put a spotlight on this routine, but as you describe it, secret practice, whereby the military has been quietly over the past couple years burning at least 20 million pounds of AFFF, or this military grade firefighting foam. Most of the facilities, and especially for the communities living near incinerators, they had no idea that they were, that PFAS was being burned in their backyards. And so I think all of the research and then attention around Norlite put a spotlight on this issue for members of Congress. Last Congress, there was an attempt to include this same moratorium provision in the annual defense spending bill. That was not successful, but, you know, thankfully, I think the community voices across the country only elevated their concerns, and this year they were able to get it across the finish line.
And looking at your congressional sponsors that you thanked in the memo, I did notice that Senator Kristen Gillibrand actually used to represent part of the Capitol District when she was in Congress, and then Antonio Delgado, you know, from New York, but one of the ones who you guys applauded for their support. Now, this $517 million, this seems to be limited at this point to cleaning up the military bases, not to clean up anything, you know, from the burning, you know, say around Norlite and the impact upon local communities.
Yeah, that's correct. The funding that was included in the annual defense spending bill is limited to DOD cleanup efforts. There are nearly 700 military installations where PFAS contamination has been either confirmed or is suspected, including many across the state of New York and elsewhere in the Northeast. However, earlier this year, this fall, Congress passed their big bipartisan infrastructure package, which included $10 billion, that would go to states to help assist states clean up PFAS in drinking water, as well as clean up PFAS through their clean water programs. So thankfully, Congress is not only addressing PFAS issues arising from decades of military use of this PFAS-based firefighting foam, but also providing much needed infrastructure funding so that states can start cleaning this stuff up and get it out of drinking water.
Now, you say PFAS, this is a family of toxic chemicals, forever toxic chemicals. Would it also include funds to clean up, say, PFOA?
Yes, it would. So while many of the, you know, regulatory or scientific orders coming out of EPA and other agencies may be specific to an individual PFAS chemical, the funding made available through the defense spending bill, as well as the bipartisan infrastructure bill, would be available to address any PFAS chemicals that have been found either on military installations near them or that we see showing up in drinking water supplies.
Since the bill rightfully imposed a moratorium on the incineration of PFAS, how do you clean up PFAS at this point?
Environmental Protection Agency just a few weeks ago issued their EPA roadmap, which outlines their plan for tackling the PFAS contamination crisis, including meaningfully regulating PFAS under our environmental statutes, the federal Superfund law, as well as the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and other environmental statutes. Really, we need the EPA and the Biden administration to designate PFAS as hazardous substances under our Superfund law so we can kickstart the cleanup of PFAS across the country. And equally important, hold the polluters accountable for paying for the cleanup costs. We know that in many places across the country, the costs of upgrading drinking water infrastructure are falling on the ratepayers, and that's simply not fair, and that the polluters who caused this problem need to pay their fair share in cleaning it up.
Now, I remember when EPA came out, I think it was the same order you mentioned, you know, one of the things they admitted that, in fact, low level of contamination, it was actually worse than they had previously, you know, set regulations for. Have they actually lowered the limits yet, or is that a process in work?
So I think what you're referring to is the updating the reference doses, and EPA earlier this, just before Thanksgiving, issued a notice whereby they basically said they've gone back and looked at the human health studies associated with PFOA and PFOS, two of the most well-characterized and oldest PFAS chemicals, and basically found, hey, they are way more toxic than we previously thought. And so, you know, PFAS chemicals in general are highly toxic, and states like New York and elsewhere are regulating them at the parts per trillion level, which is basically a drop in an Olympic sized pool. And EPA is now considering lowering their safe health advisory level from 70 parts per trillion to much lower. And it's important to note that when states have stepped in to establish their own drinking water standards, they are establishing much more health protective standards than have historically been proposed at the federal level. And this new toxicity data may reflect the need to really dramatically lower how much PFAS is actually safe in drinking water supplies.
Well, I know New York was at 10 parts, and some people want to see that lowered. But we've been talking with Colin O'Neill with the Environmental Work Group. Quickly, your webpage?
EWG.org. Check us out. We've got plenty of resources with regards to PFAS, including lots of interactive maps, so your listeners can see where there might be PFAS contamination in their area, and as well as learn about what to do about it.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Thank you.
That was 13 Ways of Looking from drummer Chris Corsano from Ithaca and Bill Orcutt in their 2021 album Made Out of Sound.
From you.
You will hear all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Tuesday, December 14th at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. we hear from Catskills' Corey McClaskind with his Forgotten Geek show. Then at 11 a.m. it's time for the Early Electro Mix show, today with tracks from Bernard Herrmann, Joan LaBarbera, Klaus Roeder, and others. At noon, after the local news, it's time for the Overlooked show. Today, Rob Saffer is listening to Threads, Cellos, and Artifacts until 2 p.m., when it's time for the Algorithm as Ritual show, featuring works from Genesis Breyer, P. Arridge, Woody Guthrie, Rabbit, Dale Cornish, Micah Levy, and others. At 3 p.m. on the Radio Art Hour, the pop cut-up collective People Like Us, mostly Becky Bennett, is featured. And at 4 p.m., Randall Martin hosts the WGXC afternoon show from Hudson. At 7 p.m., Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees beam in from Rhinebeck and Athens for Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, an hour conversation about the latest in movies locally. Then Andy French has the Crawl Out from the Fallout at 8 p.m., music from around the world and brand new often. And then it's time for the Battlefield Earth show at 10 p.m. with Dan Seward beaming in from somewhere in Columbia County on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Next, we hear from Art Tatum and his song Soft Wind.